Are you ready, Alabama? You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong!
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Throwback Thursday in the Doghouse. Yesterday, you know, we were talking about how the Braves had moved to within 3 games of .500. But since we went off the air, they lost 2 games to the Pirates. I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? Now they're 5 games under .500 at 20-25. And they're still in second place in the NL East. Today, Bartolo Colon got lit up again. And, I mean, it really, I mean, this is all. All right, I know it's a 1 year, but having this 44-year-old geezer taking starts for the Braves, I mean, enough already. Put anybody out there. Call up some kid, put him out there, see what he's got. You don't know what you got. What is the point of Bartolo Colon? By the time you're competing for the playoffs again, the guy's going to be like 50 anyway. Get him out of there. And he's ugly. Okay, I mean, that's a low blow, but... I mean, there was a time I used to vote him as the ugliest guy in professional baseball. Now he just looks like a clown. Just looks like Bozo out there, man. Get that guy out of there. 44 years old, and he's a batting practice. I mean, if you got to pay him for the whole rest of the year, just use him for batting practice, okay? Or go have him go keep Freddie Freeman company somewhere or something. You know what I mean? I mean, find something else for the dude to do. Have him sell peanuts. The only thing is that you can't have him throwing the peanut bags to the people because he'd miss them half the time. Enough with Bartolo. Today in 1968, the Rolling Stones. I should have had this queued up for you. I should have had McDJ get this thing queued up for you. But it was today in 1968 that the Rolling Stones released Jumpin' Jack Flash. That's one of the band's most recognizable hits. It's been covered by many people, including Aretha Franklin. Really, it's one of rock's true anthems. So today, the Stones get the Throwback Thursday treatment. This is what Jumpin' Jack Flash sounded like in 1968. I promise you. That was back when Keith Richards was just getting like a blood transfusion once a week. Yeah, there you go. All right, so Stonage on the Throwback Thursday today. What do we need? 8, 9? Could we find 8 or 9 Rolling Stones songs? I mean, is there 8 or 9 Rolling Stones songs out there? Maybe. I think we could find them. We'll see. We might have to use like the same 3 Rolling Stone songs like Sports all throughout Radio, the show. I'm guessing that T-Mac can find a few. Hey, I know where the radio station is. Eesh. Firing IDs and stuff at me.
It's Sports Radio 730 at 103.9. The UMP. Tennessee Valley Sports Authority. You're home for the Crimson Tide and the Atlanta Braves.
Well, everybody needs balance, right?
Best college football team on the planet, the worst baseball team on the planet.
All right, last week, and it might have been just in my ears. I don't even know if you heard that. I assume you heard it. But if it was just in my ears, it's not like I'm crazy or, you know, or ID fired. Last week, we joked about the demise of Alabama's recruiting after Damian Pierce decommitted. Is that even a word? Is decommit an actual thing? Is that a word? I don't know. And it left the Tide with just two commits. Now, this time last year, Alabama had the number two ranked recruiting class. And of course, it was on top by signing day, fifth year in a row, that they had the number one recruiting class, for whatever that's worth. Now, they're outside of the top 25 in ESPN's recruiting class rankings for the first time since 2009. Before this year, the lowest ranking that Alabama has had this late in the spring was number 11 during this run in a couple of years ago, 2016. So is this a real thing? I mean, we joke about it, but is it maybe a little bit of a real thing? Do five straight number one classes dissuade recruits from going to Tuscaloosa and competing? Now, Pierce is a running back. And the Tide stack five-star running backs like Cordwood. Personally, I'm a big player development guy. So for me, it doesn't seem so critical. I mean, the dude went 12-0 in 2008 with a bunch of guys left over from Mike Shula. Yeah, to me, it's about player development. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to get the best players in the country as well. So you wonder, you know, it doesn't seem critical, but maybe it is worth a discussion. Probably worth a discussion. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Insiders are telling me, people that I don't want to reveal. Do I have to reveal my sources? I don't have to reveal my sources. Tell me, sources close to me, really close to me. Sources close to me are telling me that what is now a committable offer this year is different than in the past, and that the coaches are trying to take back control of this situation, and that the number of commits are down for everyone. But it's a relative thing. It's still a relative thing. I mean, that may be, you know, I do believe that that is the case, but there are still other programs that have, you know, many more commitments, whatever a commitment is. Miami has 17. Ohio State has 10. LSU has 16. Penn State has 13. Last year at this time, Alabama had 9. It had 8 in 2016. They were ranked number 11. 2015, Alabama had 16 commits at this time. But what does it commit anymore? So that's been changing a little bit. And I'm going to just tell you this. I mean, I don't think I'm telling stories off out of school, am I? Alabama ran Pierce off. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And again, that's not me just saying that. That's me just telling you what I have been told by sources close to me that for all intents and purposes, Alabama ran Damian Pierce off. They just, you know, move on. The SEC baseball tournament continues in Hoover. Auburn dropped a close one last night to the Gators, 5-4. They will play the Hogs of Arkansas today at 4:30 in an elimination game. So we'll keep you posted on that after Arkansas got beat today by Mississippi State. That was an exciting game, too. Mississippi State scoring a run in the top of the ninth. They had the bases loaded with nobody out. They score a run in the top of the ninth, and then just good morning, good afternoon, good night for Arkansas in the bottom of the ninth. So it'll be the Hogs and the Tigers later on today, elimination game. We'll keep you posted on it. It should start before the show is over. It says 4:30, but who knows anymore? But it's the beginning game. It's the first game of the late session tonight, so it ought to be, you know, that should be fairly accurate information. Matt Jones, who founded a Kentucky sports radio network, says that Nebraska Notre Dame, and Tennessee will never be great again in football. Well, Notre Dame has some other issues. All right, they got an academic situation there that's unlike many, not everyone, but unlike many in the country. But from an academic standpoint, look, if Stanford can regularly be in the top 10, so can Notre Dame. I mean, really? I mean, you're to tell me that Stanford's easier to get into than Notre Dame? And Notre Dame has some recruiting advantages, too. But having said that, to say, I say that a lot, don't I? But having said that, there's like a drinking game going on somewhere where every time I say having said that, somebody's getting hammered. You're going to be wasted by like 3:30 if you're taking a shot every time I say having said that. But having said that, let me say this. To say that about Nebraska and UT is asinine. I mean, it's simply a matter of getting the right coach in there. They said the same thing 15 years ago about Alabama. Now, Alabama hadn't won a national title since 78. And then, you know, Gene Stallings got in there and they won a bunch of games 9-7. And then they won a national championship in 92. And then it went dark again. Years and years. And Shula, the program almost takes the death penalty, and Francione, and Hold the Rope, and Mike Pierce, Price, and his finding his destiny. I mean, the place was it was a shambles. I mean, let's be honest, it was a shambles. Well, Alabama, they'll never be what they were before. Now they've had the greatest run in program history. That's right, I just said that. This is the greatest run in program history. Not the it's not the 20-year run. From 1960, 61 to 1978, 79. But, I mean, that was six championships. You had three at the beginning, three at the end. A couple of pretty damn good teams in between there. But right now, this run the tide around right now, this is the best era in history ever. Got the right guy in there. Don't tell me that if Tennessee got the right guy or if Nebraska got the right guy, I got news for you. We bust Tennessee's chops a lot because, well, you know, we can. But if Tennessee got the right guy, Tennessee could go off and win national championships. There's no reason whatsoever that Tennessee couldn't do this if they had the right guy. All right, if you got an idea, this is, you know, it's BS. If you got an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll free, 866-485-WUMP, 866-485-9867. We also have the entire digital doghouse for you as well. That's our Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show. Throw us a follow there. Facebook fan page, throw us a like, Facebook.com/ Tom Abraham Show. Text window, 7329-TA-SHOW at 732-982-7469. Those of you that are alpha challenged. Doghouse inbox is open. Tom@TomAbraham.com. Nobody uses it anymore. It's so like fax machine. The doghouse inbox is so 2010. Follow the ump on Twitter at umpsports. Check out our website, umpsports.com. Facebook.com/umpsports. Off the top today, MLB insider Chris Cotillo from SB Nation joins us to talk some country hardball. Then at the top of the three, former Tennessee punter Craig Colquitt of the kicking Colquitts or the punting Colquitts, father of current NFL punters Dustin and Britton Colquitt, all Tennessee guys. Craig was my guest on Field of Faith Radio this week, and I pulled off an excerpt on it. We talked about special teams. We talked about punting. We talked about coffin corner versus pooch punting and some different things. We talked about his boys. Told the story of Britton getting himself in trouble and not getting drafted. Britton was the better punter coming out of high school than Dustin. Dustin was a third-round draft pick. Britton went undrafted because he got himself a DUI and all that stuff. Anyway, I got a nice excerpt from that for you with Craig Colquitt. Then Alan Carpenter. TomahawkTake.com makes his weekly visit. If he isn't like throwing up in his mouth a little bit today off of that Bartolo Colon start. I mean, Karp's like, hey, Colon, lose a little weight, will you? I mean, if me and Karp are telling him to lose weight, I mean, you know it's bad. Guy just needs to be gone. I mean, no, I'm not saying that, you know, he gets nice parting gifts, but come on. Stop. And the four, Matt Scalise of AL.com is in on the Greg Goff firing, followed by Hall of Fame motorsports writer Larry Woody on the newly minted NASCAR Hall of Fame class that was announced last night. We'll ask Larry Woody whether or not these are the right guys that got in. Five guys got in. 15 guys did not get in. Man behind the curtain playing the stacks of wax and the platters that matter. Answering the phones, pushing the buttons, making sure that we stay on the air. Right there in our palatial studios. He's one part Italian. He's one part Mexican. He's one part mutt. He's all stoked because Oklahoma's coming to Tuscaloosa in the Big 12 SEC Basketball Challenge. His family calls him Antonio Macbeth. To us, he's just McSooner.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
The guy's an intern.
You don't ever say that to me. Bull crap.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wok, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
Beep-a-da-boop-a-da-bap-a-da-bap-a-da.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
I think this is one of the traits of a really good producer. Keep the talent happy.
I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I think you're a psycho.
Now, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
Hey, hey, hey. T-Mac, how you doing today?
Big Dog, what's going on? I absolutely knew that you were not going to get out of the first hour without bringing up the Alabama-Oklahoma basketball game.
No, I got to put that in there. I had to get that in. Is Oklahoma any good? I mean, Alabama's not, you know, they should be on the come next year. But is Oklahoma any good anymore in basketball? I mean, they used to be great, but are they any good right now?
They'll be better than they were last year. They had a lot of growing pains after losing 90% of their offense the year before. They lost, you know, three seniors and Buddy Hield and Isaiah Cousins and Ryan Spangler. And then they had a couple freshmen show up last year that showed that they were freshmen at times. So, and then they had this big five-star commit. It's supposed to be the biggest commit since Blake Griffin. He's a wonderful point guard out of Norman North High School. His name's Trey Young. From what I've seen, he shoots a lot of threes. He shoots them well, but that's pretty much just all he does. So I wouldn't be surprised with the way Alabama's recruited and filled in their holes. And Avery Johnson, such a really good coach, in my opinion. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama comes out with a victory in that game. But one of my best friends, who used to be my roommate, sent me that picture this morning, first thing when I woke up. And he said, hey, we're going. So I might be in Coleman Coliseum for that one.
Is Blake Griffin from Oklahoma? Is he an Oklahoma guy? Because I just think about him maybe going to Oklahoma City and how big that might be.
Yeah, he's from Oklahoma. I'm almost positive he's from Oklahoma. I don't remember exactly where. If you'd asked, you know, the 16, 17-year-old me, I could have told you everything about him because he was the biggest thing that happened to Oklahoma basketball. But, yeah, I'm almost positive he's from that area.
But he's from the state of Oklahoma? So that would be big, wouldn't it? I mean, even if he's not from the state of Oklahoma, he was such a star at Oklahoma. You know, if OKC could get their mitts into that guy,
yeah,
you know, they become a factor immediately. I mean, that puts them ahead of, you know, immediately that shifts the power from, you know, in the middle of the West from the Clips to OKC. And if you could put that guy somehow, some way with Russ, I mean, you might have something.
If he can stay healthy, then I absolutely agree with you. He's a free agent this summer, so they can go grab him. And or he probably will be. I think he has the option to opt out, I think. but he'll be a free agent most likely. And he was born in Oklahoma City. I'm almost certain that he was born in Oklahoma City. And I'm going to say you can quote me on that, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea. All right, so you know that you know this is something that we didn't know that well that I didn't know. I mean, I would think that you knew. Hey, born in Oklahoma City, Blake Griffin. Yeah. All right. Speaking of which, let's get some manouche from you here. Give me a little something that we don't know. Educate our listeners. We call this T-Max manouche.
All right, we're going to throw it back to 1922 first. And even though he was one of the greatest, he could still have a little bit of a temper, I found out. Babe Ruth was suspended one day and fined $200, which I'm sure meant a lot more in 1922 than it does now, for throwing dirt on an umpire, which I thought was really interesting. Didn't know Babe
Ruth. What Babe Ruth said when he got his $80,000 contract, and they told him, they said, you know, you're making more money than the president now. And he said, well, I had a better year than the president.
So. 1951, Willie Mays, when he played for the New York Giants before they moved to San Francisco, it was his first major league game, and he went 0-5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 0-5 in his first major league game.
Never make it. Out of Alabama, of course.
1994, Martin Essier scores a natural hat trick in Game 6 of the NHL Eastern Conference Finals, which I found out today what a natural hat trick was, which was pretty interesting.
And he guaranteed it. I mean, he didn't guarantee to natty hatty, but he guaranteed that they were going to win that game. And then they went on to win the Stanley Cup. Oh, well, what did you find out that a natural hat trick is?
Natural hat trick is when someone scores three consecutive goals that are uninterrupted from either his own team or the other team scoring a goal.
All right, there you go.
1997.
Otherwise known as a natty hatty.
There you go. 1997, the Twins retire Kirby Puckett's number 34.
Bum.
And then
he's the biggest phony that ever walked the face of the earth, the wife beater. He was an evil man at that Kirby Puckett. They should have called him out for what he was. It all came out later on.
Then in 1978, Brian Urlacher was born, turning 39 today.
Wow. Man, and it's been like, I mean, once he come up for HOF, I mean, he's got been another year maybe. I mean, he's been out at least three or four seasons, hasn't he?
He's been out a while. You got to be out, what, 5 years?
You got to be 5 years out.
5 years. I'm looking. He retired in 2012, I think. Yeah, 2012 was his last season. So, yeah, it's coming up.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know how long they're going to wait. You know, to me, I don't know. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I think Brian Urlacher's a Hall of Famer. You know, I wonder how long it'll take them to get that done. But I do believe that he is a Hall of Famer. All right. Is that it? You got birthdays too or no? Or is that it?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that was the only birthday of interest, to be honest with you.
Oh, it was Brian Urlacher's birthday. Yeah. Okay, yeah, right. It is his birthday. 39 years old, so there you go. All right, it's Throwback Thursday. We got Rolling Stones music, so that ought to be fun. When we return, we'll talk some country hardball. We'll kick it off with Chris Cotillo from SB Nation. He's up next right here on 730 1039.
The Ump. Sports Radio 730 1039. The Ump.
Hi, this is Polly Wade, CPA, realtor, and wife of celebrity craftsman Chip Wade. A fresh coat of paint is one of the most affordable ways to update your home. This Memorial Day weekend, take on an indoor or outdoor paint project and still have plenty of holiday left to celebrate. The Home Depot has quality brands like Behr and Glidden. With advanced stain blocking and washable formulas, you'll find the perfect color that will stay true and vibrant longer than ever before. Get your project started today. Visit homedepot.com/paint for inspiration. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
There are paint projects, and then there are paint projects. Start yours at the Home Depot with Memorial Day paint savings of $10 off 1 gallon cans and $40 off 5 gallon buckets. That's not just more for the money. That's more for the living room and dining room, or maybe an extra bedroom or two. Unbelievable quality. Unbeatable prices. With Memorial Day paint savings of $10 to $40 off, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through May 29th.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
As a parent, it's what you do. You protect your children.
You teach them how to brush their teeth.
How to wash their hands.
To look both ways when crossing the street.
You take them to the doctor when they're sick.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
I didn't know there was a vaccine for meningococcal meningitis, and my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
There wasn't a vaccine to protect against strain B meningococcal disease when my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
But now there is.
Just get the facts and vaccinate. It's the right thing to do.
Please visit nmaus.org.
A public service message from the National Meningitis Association. Our website, nmaus.org, has details about the two vaccines that protect preteens and teens. That's www.nmaus.org.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on, safy.org.
The Oakville Indian Mounds Education Center is pleased to host the 30th annual Multicultural Indian event, and the general public is invited to attend this Saturday from 10 to 5. The center is celebrating the diversity of the Southeastern Native people, and entry to the event is free. This is a student-led project sponsored by the Native American Student Club members. The park will be filled with living history demonstrations, hands-on children's activities, flute and drum demonstrations, live bluegrass and gospel music, and several fundraising activities, including canoe rides, wagon rides, and face painting. All personal vehicles will be asked for a $2 donation for parking. Buses park for free, and proceeds go to the Oakville Indian Mounds Education Center. To find out more, log on to Facebook.com/ Oakville Indian Mounds. The Facebook page will be showcasing some of the new demonstrations for this year.
Mostly sunny and breezy at times this afternoon. Temperatures stay below average, the high 75. Clear tonight, the low at 58. But then the weather heats up tomorrow and Saturday, partly to mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow, 86. Then for Saturday afternoon, the high very close to 90. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. Bark, bark.
When will those clouds all disappear?
T-Mac says the Rolling Stones are overrated. One of the most overrated bands ever. They're our Throwback Thursday band today. Can't wait to hear the ones that he doesn't like. We'll have to find out. Of course, he's also 25 years old. So, you know, I mean, to him, Rolling Stones is a magazine, right? I'm just saying. But we'll have to get his take on that a little bit later on. Right now, Chris Cotillo joins us from SB Nation. Talk a little country hardball. Chris, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. October 18th, 1977, Chris. That's the day I became a hardcore baseball fan. That's Reggie Jackson's 3-home-run game against the Dodgers in the World Series. A very nice piece you wrote at SB Nation regarding the day you became a hardcore baseball fan at age 6 on April 27, 2002. Tell us about why that day became the day.
Yeah, so as I wrote this morning, we at SB Nation today, we had a big rebranding and a refresh of basically all of our layout. So the sites all look different than they've ever looked before, and I think you know a creative team did a great job on that. But for that rebrand, basically, coming back to the fact that we, at the core, SB Nation is all about fans writing about their favorite teams. I'm in a little bit of a different role as a reporter and an insider who's not too much of a fan, like I've said before. But we had to write when you became a fan, and mine was April 27, 2002. At 6 years old, I had Red Sox tickets, and with my dad, my grandpa, and my uncle, and we went to Fenway for the first time. Beautiful Saturday afternoon in April, and sitting on the first baseline, and throughout the day, just kind of noticed that the Rays didn't seem to be hitting the ball that hard. And and over time noticed that there was a zero on the scoreboard in their hits column, and that day ended with Derek Lowe throwing the first no-hitter at Fenway in 32 years. The last one was Bill Mombuchet way back in the day, and just kind of realized, like, wow, this is, you know, you see a no-hitter your first time at a baseball game, and you're kind of hooked. And then, obviously, growing up around here and seeing them win it in 04 and 07 and covering the World Series in 2013, it's a baseball town first and foremost. And so I think, as I wrote today, it's a religion around here, and there's no way to escape, but especially with family members who are so involved.
Now, this is baseball serendipity. Derek Lowe has been a frequent guest on the show in the past, and he and I became friends back in Fort Myers when I was on the air in Fort Myers, and he would, of course, train there with the Red Sox. He would listen to the show. He was a fan of the show, and you know, we spent a little time at some hockey games together and things like that, and he ended up coming on a few times since his retirement. He's been on several times to talk baseball, and a good guy, you know, just a really good guy. But that's interesting to see what that moment would be. For me, it was that 1977 World Series, and I had been a baseball fan. I was a teenager by then, and I was a baseball fan. But I remember sitting in the living room at my parents' house in Webster, New York, watching that game on a 25-inch Zenith TV, which was considered a big-screen TV then. It was, you know, one of them floor console units. And watch Reggie hit those three home runs. And then when he hit the third one, my dad had already gone to bed. He hit that third one. I literally jumped up out of the chair and I was hooked. You know, it took, in my case, it took your team, you know, my team, the Yankees, and it was the first World Series that they had won that I remembered, because in the, you know, 60s, it had been so long. And it took the team being great like that. And since then I've been hooked. And it's interesting how each generation, the first group of players that they become familiar with are the ones that they love. And I've got teenage sons now that are struggling with the Yankees. They're getting back into them, but they're struggling because Derek Jeter is gone and A-Rod is gone and Andy Pettit is gone and Bernie Williams is gone. And they're like, what's the point? I'm never going to watch the Yankees again. And I'm like, hey, take a look at these guys and you want to start watching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, that's part of the whole argument about who's the face of baseball. Now those guys are out of it, and obviously when you're in the biggest media market like that, it's easy to be the face of baseball. And I, even being a Boston guy, always said Jeter was for so long, and A-Rod, you know, with too many skeletons in his closet to be but Jeter definitely was, and now, you know, the big stars around the league are, you know, with Trout on the West Coast, and obviously Harper is in D.C. and people don't pay too much attention there. And obviously, you know, Chris Bryant in a huge market in Chicago is starting. But with the Yankees, I think Aaron Judge, you're seeing, is becoming a superstar. Gary Sanchez looked like one last year, and you have a ton of prospects left in that system that are all going to come up. And you know, for people in New York, hoping that will be the next Yankees dynasty. And the other way that could happen is in 2 years, if they sign a Harper or they sign a Manny Machado, a guy like that, which I think they're likely to do, then that's the face of baseball, whoever that guy is.
It was interesting. It was a piece earlier last week, I think, that said, you know, Mike Trout is Mickey Mantle and no one's paying attention. And it's kind of funny because it is Los Angeles, but it's like the Anaheim Ducks. You know what I mean? It's if you're not the Dodgers or the Kings, you know, maybe nobody's going to pay attention. The Angels don't get the attention that the Dodgers get. But can you imagine the way they're responding to Judge and Sanchez and stuff like that in New York? Can you imagine if Mike Trout was playing for the Yankees and had this start? By now, they'd have changed the rules and put him in the Hall of Fame by now.
And he would, you know, that would be a guy from New Jersey, on the Philly side, but still a guy from New Jersey. Oh. Playing in New York is an interesting thing, too. You know, he is a Mickey Mantle comp, and that's always been out there. And this year, he's kind of even hitting an even higher gear, which is incredibly – it just seems impossible to me, obviously. And I think the problem with him is that the Angels haven't been good. You know, they really went for it, and they had all the makings of being a good team at the beginning of his tenure. They went out and they had those huge free agent deals for Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton and C.J. Wilson. Obviously, Pujols has regressed a bit. The Hamilton one was an absolute disaster on their end. The C.J. Wilson one was okay. But at that point, you know, you have – so much money tied up in those guys and really no supporting cast around Trout, never playing in the playoffs, stuff like that. People can't fully appreciate it. And the only time he gets to shine on the national stage is the All-Star game, which I think a lot of people don't even really pay that much attention to anymore. Obviously, the World Series is the signature event, and it should be, but in the All-Star game. He won two MVPs in a row. And it will lead off home run 1 year against Greinke and a lot of great moments, but he's never been in October, and that's the problem. And the Angels are stuck in a spot where they're not likely to get him to October because the supporting cast is really bad. They're still paying for Pujols, still paying for Hamilton, even though Hamilton is a free agent right now after that trade to Texas, and Pujols is regressing. So, and the Angels also don't have any prospects to make trades because of some ill-advised trades. So the Angels' situation is really tough for a superstar to thrive in. And I think for his sake, a lot of people in the next couple of years are going to be saying, you know, maybe it's time to trade him. Maybe it's time to really look into that. And I think in two off seasons, when you have Machado and Harper and all those guys out there, the Angels could say, all right, you don't want to spend $500 million. You want a guy on a better contract for a couple of years. Here we go. Give us five top prospects. I can't even imagine what the price would be, but I wouldn't be surprised if they shopped him at that point just to provide that cheaper alternative in terms of at least money and get him to a spot where he can contend.
And I think, you know, Bryce Harper, I mean, now there's a guy that has gotten some, you know, commercials and he, you know, he's been in some good stuff. I think that, and he does have a little bit of a unique look with the beard and so on. Again, Washington is still, it's a three-time major league market that it's, you know, it's still not, you know, anchored in there. They haven't won that World Series yet or done anything like that yet as the Nationals, but, you know, he's been, it's funny because I think Harper is like 24, maybe. I think he's 24. Trout's like 25. And Aaron Judge, who's just getting started, is 25. These two guys are the same age, and they've got like 4 or 5 years under their belt already.
Right. Well, that's with Harper. You know, he's a guy who was on the Sports Illustrated catalog, as I mentioned, and at 14, 15 years old and stuff, or in the number one pick in the draft, Trout. Straight out of high school, and you know that's what happens when the guys reach their development at different times. And Judge is really coming into his own now, and I think the area that they just built in Yankee Stadium for him is really interesting, and they're really trying to market around him. I thought the Jimmy Fallon thing was really hilarious, where people didn't recognize him and in New York City when he was pretending to be a sportscaster. So I think Judge is really coming into his own. People love home runs, and in Yankee Stadium, he's a guy who's going to hit a ton of them. So he's a guy who's going to be a superstar as well and kind of join those guys, and obviously has the big advantage of being in that huge market.
The interesting thing is, will he be a quiet superstar? Will he be that kind of a guy? He is a very humble man. I've been reading more and more about him, trying to learn more about this kid, and you know, and adopted basically at birth, that he was adopted later on when he was 13 or 14 years old, when he realized that he didn't really look like his parents. He never talks about his, ethnicity. You know, he looks like he's, blended in some kind of ethnicity. He never really talks about that. He talks about his teammates more than him, you know, than himself. And he isn't the personality that way that maybe a Bryce Harper is. He's kind of more like Trout in a way. But he's a very humble guy, and I don't know ultimately whether that'll hold him back or whether people will respect that.
Well, I think it's interesting. I'm covering the draft right now, and all these guys that I'm talking to, I do a Q&A series where I do a Q&A with as many of the top projected first-round picks as I can get to, and I've done 3 interviews so far for that, and I did like 20 or 25 last year, and these guys are so coached up at this point with knowing what to say, because they have these advisors who are obviously agents who can't be called that until the draft and the contract is signed. These guys are all, you know, coaching them up, telling them what to say, how to be mild mannered. And I think, you know, it's everything's trending toward, you want to be this humble, great off the field guy where, you know, you don't want to assume the limelight, because, you know, it's really hard when that happens and people are going to dislike you. The days of guys like A-Rod and these flashy superstars might be over. It takes a rare guy, you know, and I think there you see a huge polarization between that and the NBA. I could never imagine anything in baseball like what LeVar Ball and Lonzo and that whole thing is happening right now.
Oh, gosh.
Because, you know, baseball is just, it's a game where, you know, it's really starting to tone down, and there's a lot less flashiness, and then you're seeing, when there are guys who are flashy, I think we talked about this before, like Jose Bautista, they're going to get, they're either hated and then they're punished for it. So the guys I'm all talking to are really coached up, and they're, you know, either high school juniors, high school seniors, or college juniors. And, you know, do you have any expectations where we'll be picked in the draft? It's not, I should go number one, I'm the best player in this draft. It's, you know, wherever the chips fall, it's the same cliches every time. And I'm just thankful for this opportunity. And you know what? That's great and respectable, but it just shows you how these guys are being taught behind the scenes and kind of how people behind the scenes are molding them.
Right. Chris Cotillo with us, SB Nation, talking some country hardball. All right, you know, the slow start by the Cubs. Nobody is really taking advantage of it. The Cubs are 24-21 now, and that's after a couple of wins. So they were just hovering around that 500 mark, as were the Red Sox, who have now won three in a row. And the Red Sox, you know, for all the gnashing of teeth there, you know, they're 3.5 games behind the Yankees, and they're a good week. You know, they're one decent week from being right back at the top of the AL East. So it's not like the Yankees have completely run away and hid, and in the Cubs division in the NL Central. I mean, it's Milwaukee. I don't even know what to make of that. St. Louis is a flawed team. They're just a half game back. The Cubs are right there, a half game back, even with a 24-21 start. But is there trouble in Chicago a little bit now? We're approaching that magic Memorial Day mark. Is this something to be concerned about? That, yeah, they can win the Central, but I don't know how far they can go, you know, the way they're playing right now.
Well, I would trust them in the postseason, you know, over some of these fluky teams we're seeing, obviously, Colorado, Milwaukee, and the mix. You have to say, you know, if you put a gun to my head in October and say who's going to win that series, just with the pitching the Cubs can line up with the experience they're doing it last year, if they get in there, I think they're definitely a threat. Obviously, the Nationals are too, and they've kind of established themselves as the best team in the National League. But the question for them is always what they could do in October. I think, you know, there are concerns, as I've said before on the show. It's the rotation depth and Arrieta and stuff like that. But I think there is the championship hangover that has to do with that. And on the Red Sox side of things, like you were talking about, I think their big question going forward is David Price. Last night was his second rehab start down in Pawtucket, and really a huge struggle once again. Pitched terribly and then sped out of the parking lot and a $230,000 car and refusing to talk to reporters. Basically, every major Boston paper sent their lead guy to cover the Paw Sox last night and not the Red Sox game at Fenway. And those guys all trying to, you know, see Price pitch and then explain, get an explanation on why he pitched so badly in a AAA game, were completely blown off. And I think, you know, there's a lot of issues with David Price that are starting to build up over time. There was a lot of stuff over the offseason, some comments he made about how, you know, Boston's not a great fit. And it's really interesting to me because it didn't look like a good fit at the beginning. He really had a lot of issues with Boston guys. He had issues with David Ortiz, who is a borderline god around these parts. And he came in and signed that huge contract, and it was a break from tradition where the Red Sox gave that much money to a pitcher. And they asked him, you know, you've had, you know, you interact with Boston fans on Twitter in the past, being on two teams in the division with Tampa and Toronto. And everything's been, you know, kind of negative so far. How are you going to be able to deal with this? And he has not dealt with it well. He really just wasn't comfortable all last year, as you saw by the struggles. This year coming in hurt, and now, you know, not talking to the media. I obviously get a little bit more offended than that at that than probably your average fan, being a member of the media. But when you pitch in Boston and you go out and you give up whatever, 6 or 7 runs in 2 innings of a AAA game when you're really hurt and the team's counting on you, it's part of that job and it's part of that $217 million you're earning to at least talk about it. And so, you know, I take issue with that, obviously, and I know a lot of people do. So Price is a bigger question mark than he was even before the rehab starts, which you don't always see, but he's going to be a key for the Red Sox going forward.
Yeah,
David, when you're in Tennessee, who do you listen to?
When I listen to the radio and talk show, I like to listen to Tom Abraham.
Well, see, he's got good sense in radio, to what he's going to listen to on the radio. I was concerned when he went to Boston. I really was, and I'd done some stuff with him. He's from Murfreesboro, a small town about 30 miles south of Nashville, and he is a, you know, he was able to perform, I think, with the perfect guy, with Joe Maddon at Tampa Bay. And it was the perfect place for him to be because it was relatively, you know, like you're in a witness protection program there. Nobody really, you know, not a whole ton of people coming to the games. And not saying he's not a big game guy, but you know he struggled. You know, he struggled in the playoffs and in big games then, and in Boston, every game is a big game. Every game feels like a World Series game. You know, it's Boston. They hang on every pitch. I was a little bit concerned, and I just hope for him that part of it gets straightened out, because, you know, he's got too much talent for that to flame out. He'll have to go someplace else.
Yeah, I think the thing is, you know, when before he signed, he was the rare guy that sat there and read everything coming his way negatively on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you're pitching for the Rays, then you probably can take, you know, the 4 to 6 comments you get after a bad start from Rays fans or heckling from other teams. But if you do badly in Boston and you're on Twitter and you're reading everything and reacting kind of sensitively to it, then it's going to absolutely destroy you. And I think that is a huge concern heading in. And there's a lot of things written when he signed the deal that was, you know, he'll be okay. He's maturing and he'll be able to handle this and not really deal with all the negative comments. But I don't think he has, you know, yet. And he's kind of has a huge distrust for the media. There was a huge controversy, I think, at the beginning of spring training, very early on, about how the Red Sox media in Boston never asked him about his charity endeavors. And he really didn't like the media because they didn't come up to him and ask how they could promote his charity endeavors. And you know, obviously that's a great to be charitable and all that stuff, but their job is to report on the field. And if you wanted to come to them and ask them to do something, I bet they would, to strengthen the relationship. But they're, you know, just kind of completely misunderstanding the role of the media, and then obviously not really respecting them enough to speak yesterday. So I think there's a lot going on there. And a lot of drama that the Red Sox didn't anticipate when they gave him $217 million.
Yeah, blowing them off yesterday was not a good move for him. All right, man, appreciate you as always. Chris Cotillo has been our guest. SB Nation, check his stuff out there. Chris, I appreciate you. We'll do it again.
Yep, thanks.
Let's grab a break. We went a little long there. We'll come back with more right after this. It's the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump.
This is Boomer Esiason with a CBS Sports Minute. At their spring meeting in Chicago, the NFL owners this week voted to eliminate the traditional 75-man roster cutdown that took place between preseason weeks 3 and 4. Instead, the teams will now each carry 90 players through the 4-game exhibition schedule and then cut down to the 53-man rosters right before the start of the regular season. Owners want the revenues from their 2 home preseason games, and in most cases, you can't buy regular season tickets without them. So now what this roster rule change guarantees is that teams will now have enough cannon fodder bodies on hand so that no one close to making the real rosters will risk injury. As horrible as preseason football has become, it will now be utterly unwatchable, guaranteeing empty stadiums. The ugly optics could tarnish the NFL brand. Bottom line, the owners don't care. Neither do we as the fans. Let's just get to the regular season. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Napa know-how. That's not heavy metal music or the sound of a stray cat fight. It's your car's not so subtle way of saying head to Napa for new brake pads and rotors and get up to a $50 rebate by mail. So don't confuse for anything other than new brakes and $50 back by mail. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 5/31/17.
Shop Lowe's and save big during our Memorial Day savings event. You'll find great deals like up to 30% off select appliance special values. That's up to 30% off some of the best brand name appliances to finally help make that dream kitchen come true. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Valid May 18, 2017 through June 7, 2017. U.S. only. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
You know him from A&E's Duck Dynasty, and His Way Men's Residential Substance Abuse Program is bringing Jeff Robertson to Huntsville to share some stories, answer some questions, and talk about the importance of family and faith in overcoming the obstacles of life. Nationally recognized comedian and actor Henry Cho will be hosting the event. Join His Way for a memorable night with Jeff Robertson and Henry Cho, August the 10th at the VBC East Hall. His Way is a 6-month Christ-centered residential program for men who struggle with substance abuse. And our desire is to help those men establish a life of sobriety and give them a new beginning and a blessed life. To purchase tickets or to find out more, visit hiswayinc.org or call 256-859-7377. To see Jeff Robertson and Henry Cho, August 10th at the VBC East Hall.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time, your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
Hey, it's our time. Call the Big Dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
When I listen to the radio and talk show, I like to listen to Tom Abraham.
Well, don't we all? David Price. That was, I had nothing to do with that. I mean, there are promos I had something to do with. I had nothing to do with that one. That was at Red Sox spring training. And there was a reporter there, Johnny Miller from WBZ Radio, who listens to my show to this day, listens to the show on the Ump app. He used to listen to my show when I was on in Florida, and he listened to my show on the Ump app. So he is at WBZ Radio in Boston. Anyway, every time somebody gets fired up, he was like, "We should have Tom Abraham up here." I said, "I'm not going. I wouldn't go up there. You wouldn't have enough money to get me up there, no matter what. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the Red Sox." I mean, it'd be, and they won't accept me. You know, you talk about me being here and them saying, you ain't from around these parts, are you? You know, I mean, forget about it. If I was up there, it'd be crazy. Anyway, so Johnny was interviewing David Price last year at spring, not this past year. I think the year before that at spring training. And he just asked him out of the blue, "Do you listen to sports radio when you're back home in Tennessee?" And then David Price.
When I listen to the radio and talk show, I like to listen to Tom Abraham.
There you go. I did some stuff with his golf tournament and crap like that. He's got a great dad. I had started a campaign to try and get the Tampa Bay Rays to move to Nashville because they, you know, they got a terrible situation there. They got, I was saying that, you know, if Nashville just stopped screwing around and actually built a major league ballpark, that it would be a much better baseball city than Tampa Bay is. And here was my plan, T-Mac. I wanted the to move to Nashville. And this is, you know, when they were playing great, going to the World Series and stuff. I wanted them to move to Nashville and move to the National League East and move the Miami Marlins to the American League East. Because, first of all, Miami, the Yankees are huge in Miami, Boston, all of that. Miami is really an East Coast town, and those East Coast American League teams are huge down there. So it would be more natural for the Marlins to be in the AL East and then put the Rays, turn them into the Nashville Knights, put them in the National League East, where they'd have a rivalry, you know, with the Braves, and they would also play the Cubs and, you know, the Cardinals and people like that. I think people will go, you know, come from hundreds of miles around to see that happen, but I don't know. All right, when we come back, my conversation with Craig Colquitt next on 730-103-90.
730 and 1039. The Ump. More sports.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve, as they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve to live full and independent lives, even when there's no government funding or a nursing home seems like the only option. We won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Join us at findwwp.org.
We're all part of your community.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, we are
Lady Antebellum.
When we started out in Nashville, we never imagined what we were going to be able to achieve. We got here because we worked together and had each other's backs.
In America, we have the privilege of being a diverse society made up of people from all kinds of backgrounds. And that's a big part of what makes this country such a great place to live.
When we put aside our differences and work together, there is no challenge too great to overcome. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Think you're dealing with drug poisoning, chemical poisoning, food poisoning? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know him from A&E's Duck Dynasty, and His Way Men's Residential Substance Abuse Program is bringing Jeff Robertson to Huntsville to share some stories, answer some questions, and talk about the importance of family and faith in overcoming the obstacles of life. Nationally recognized comedian and actor Henry Cho will be hosting the event. Join His Way for a memorable night with Jeff Robertson and Henry Cho, August the 10th at the VBC East Hall. His Way is a six-month, Christ-centered residential program for men who struggle with substance abuse. And our desire is to help those men establish a life of sobriety and give them a new beginning and a blessed life. To purchase tickets or to find out more, visit hiswayinc.org or call 256-859-7377. To see Jeff Robertson and Henry Cho, August 10th at the VBC East Hall.
Together, we can turn a rescue ship of refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org. Donate your shoes to New Futures. Help raise funds by donating your gently worn or new shoes. Drop them off in plastic bags at the New Future Shelter at 3419 Venona.